Heavenly Father, please shine the light of your word into our hearts so that we may shine your light in our daily lives. Amen. How do we show mercy in our age of outrage? See, on one hand, Australian society claims to value tolerance. If you've ever had to apply for a visa for Australia, you will have had to sign a thing called the Australian Values Statement. Does anyone remember that in all the paperwork? One of the Australian values that you need to sign off on is a fair go that embraces tolerance. And yet, in saying that we value tolerance, there are many things that we don't tolerate. I mean, here are some news headlines from just the last week. News headline: world leaders condemn airstrikes. Susan Ley condemns white supremacist rally. Consumer groups condemn new draft scam laws. Rugby officials condemn proposed rule changes. In fact, these days it's sometimes assumed that if you don't condemn something, then maybe you approve of it. As a Christian community, we take good and evil seriously, and we also trust in a God who is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. We trust in a Saviour who taught us to love our enemies. And so how do we fit all this together? This morning, as we work through Luke chapter 6, we'll be working through from verse 37 down to 42. I want to point out three things. First of all, that Jesus wants us to be generous in how we evaluate others. And second, that Jesus wants us to realize that our judgments influence others. And third, that Jesus wants us to be aware of our own condition. So look with me at verse 37, which says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." I think it's important that we keep these statements together as a package. I mean, I have had "do not judge" quoted as a principle all by itself, as if we're not supposed to come to conclusions about anything, or we're not supposed to disagree with anyone. But when you think about it, daily life is actually full of judgments. We're always trying to make wise judgments about what's a good investment and what's a foolish one. We make judgments about which people will work for, who will marry. One of the most important pillars of society is a justice system where courts make judgments about people. And Jesus recognized that there is a proper kind of judgment. In John's Gospel, John chapter 7, verse 24 actually, "Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly." But what Jesus is doing here in Luke's Gospel, in this string of statements, starting with "do not judge," is he's wanting us to make the connection between how we treat others and how God will treat us. It's a connection that Jesus makes in many other places too. For example, when we pray, remember Jesus taught us to say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Jesus knows that we so easily slip into a critical mindset where we unfairly put ourselves in the judge's seat Jesus knows that we so easily slip into a mindset where we condemn without sympathy. And so he wants us to think, okay, what if God evaluated me the way I'm evaluating others? What if God measured me with my own ruler? What if God judged me as quickly as I'm judging others? Now, the American pastor Kevin DeYoung writes this. I think this is helpful. He says, in an age of tribalization and trial by internet, one of the most powerful things we can do as Christians is to think about the measure we want for us and then use that measure for others. How do I want people to judge me? I want people to look at every angle and not be quick to believe the worst about me. I want people to deal with facts and not gossip or speculation. I want people to give me a fair hearing and to be open to changing their minds. I want people to speak respectfully to me and of me. In verse 38, Jesus gives us an illustration for how we should treat each other. And it's an example from the marketplace. You go to the market, you find a seller with a big bag of grain, and you say, oh, I'd like to buy some of that grain. How much is it? And he says, oh, see this jar? That's $5 worth. You say, okay, sure. Give me $5 of grain. Now, he could be a stingy salesman. He could tip a bit in till the jar sort of looks mostly full and then pour it into your lap. See, in those days, there were no plastic bags, and so apparently people might buy some grain. They'd get the grain sort of tipped into a fold of their clothing, and then they'd carry it home. So he could be a stingy salesman, or he could be a generous salesman. He could tip it into the jar and shake it around so that it settles, and then tip a bit more in and press it down and get as much into the jar as he can, and then tip it into your lap. And so Jesus is saying we should have this kind of generosity when it comes to the judgments that we make about other people. So I think this means we should look for the best in others rather than just assuming the worst. It means we want to be careful not to let our imagination wander and go, oh, I bet they're thinking this about me, and I bet they're thinking that about me. I mean, just think, a secular court won't convict anyone of a crime unless there's evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, when things are beyond reasonable doubt, when actions and words are clear, Jesus is not expecting us to just ignore the facts, to be naive. It's okay to call evil evil. Sometimes it's necessary to call evil evil. But here Jesus is saying, don't jump to negative conclusions without evidence. And the English preacher, John Stott, explains it like this. He says, the command, do not judge, it's not a requirement to be blind, rather a plea to be generous. Jesus does not tell us to cease to be human by suspending our critical powers. Rather, he tells us to renounce the ambition to be God by presuming to judge the heart. So that's what I mean by the first point. Be generous in how you evaluate others. The second point is, realize that your judgments influence others. I'm getting this from verses 39 and 40, where Jesus tells a short parable. Parable is sometimes a story with a meaning, but in this case, it's more like a riddle. Let me try and explain the riddle. Verse 39, Jesus says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? Okay, I think we can imagine that picture. Blind man leading a blind man, both of them fall in. But what's that? How's that relevant to the topic of judging? Well, in verse 40, Jesus says this is about students and teachers. And do you remember the scene where all this is happening, where Jesus is saying these words? Remember, you've got Jesus and the apostles and the crowd of disciples and then all the people listening in. And so in this parable, Jesus is the teacher. And who are the students? The students include those who are being trained up to lead the people of God into the future. In Jesus' kingdom, leaders lead by teaching the word of God, including teaching what God says about good and evil. And yet it's so easy to do that with a spirit of judgment, where the focus is always on how bad everything is, where the tone is scolding and criticizing, rather than teaching in a way where you see everything in the light of the grace and the glory and the goodness of God. The Christian author Jerry Bridges, he says, the sin of judgmentalism is one of the most subtle of our respectable sins because it is often practiced under the guise of being zealous for what's right. He's saying sometimes it looks like you just care about what's right, but there can be that judgmentalism in your heart. And friends, we've got to remember, if Jesus himself did not come to condemn the world but to save the world, then, well, the student is not above our teacher. We have not been appointed in this age to be the world's judges. So I think verse 40 is a particular word to Christian leaders and teachers. By our conversation and our attitude, we give a flavor that's going to influence and train the whole community. If you're a small group leader, a Sunday school teacher, and if you have a negative legalistic focus, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be raising up a whole group of legalists. You'll be like the blind leading them into a pit. Of course, I'm preaching to myself at the moment, aren't I? But this is relevant to all of us, because at some point we all become teachers, whether it's in the church, whether it's as a parent, whether it's as you're speaking to your neighbor who doesn't yet know Christ. In some way we all become teachers, and so we need to always be constantly learning from Jesus. Committed to truth, never affirming sin, but full of Jesus' mercy for sinners. And this brings us to our final point. Jesus says we should be aware of our own condition. Verse 41 and 42, Jesus gives an illustration of two men. So you've got one man who has a speck of sawdust in his eye, and the other one somehow has this huge plank. And of course, it's ridiculous for the man with the plank to say, "Oh, I can see you've got a problem. Let me help you with your problem." And so the sawdust and the plank are, of course, symbols of sin. And the Bible does say there are times when we need to help each other by drawing attention to sin and correcting. You notice the last words of verse 42 are, "Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Well, one of the reasons that God brings us together as a community is so that we can encourage and build up and correct one another and help each other grow more like Christ. And so there is a time where we need to say, Hey, brother, I can see that there's some stuff happening in your life, and I don't feel like I can keep silent about it." And yet it's so easy to be obsessed with everybody else's sin and not pay attention to your own. I'll never forget a time where I was talking with someone and she said to me, "Oh, my brother annoys me so much. He's so judgmental." And then she paused and thought about what she said, and we both burst out laughing. Isn't it just our natural sinful tendency to judge others and be blind to our own sins? In fact, sometimes pointing out the faults of others can be like a bit of a defense mechanism to avoid the difficult thing of looking inward and dealing with what's in our own hearts. We'll only be the kind of people that Jesus wants us to be in this passage if we remember that we are sinners. Because that's why Jesus had to die upon the cross, isn't it? It's because we are sinners. We are all saved by the mercy and the generous grace of God. We continue to be sinners who continue to need changing. And there's this strange irony that when we see that how quick we are to judge others, that actually indicates, oh yes, there is still plenty of growing for me to do. See, it's the humility that comes from conviction of sin. That's what makes us stop and pause rather than jump ahead into judgment. As the Canadian theologian Don Carson once said, he talks about us, he says, there must be no condescension, kind of looking down, no double standard, no sense of superiority. We Christians are never more than poor beggars telling other poor beggars where there is bread. And this humble tone ought to characterize all Christian missionary endeavor. When we share in the gospel, what we're saying is, hey, brother, I'm speaking to you. I'm a sinner just like you are, but guess who I found that loves sinners like us? If he can save me, then he can save you. You know, remember the Apostle Paul, he said, look, I'm speaking to you as the chief of sinners. And if our Saviour is willing to persevere with me, then come to him. He will be willing to persevere with you. And so in this passage, Jesus teaches us something about true tolerance. So something I think we need to hear in our age of outrage. So Jesus' teaching in this passage, it's a response to a kind of hard religious attitude that shows no mercy to sinners. It's a response to an attitude that prefers to criticize, that prefers to condemn. So on the screen, that's the bottom left-hand corner, Jesus is responding to truth without love. And you know what? There are a lot of people in our city who have been burnt by that kind of religion, by truth without love. And so I think there's this sort of alternative, this opposite that is popular today, and that's the bottom right, I'll call that love without truth. And that's the whole, look, I'll just seek to love you by affirming with everything you do, as if there is no absolute right and wrong, as if there is no judgment that we will all have to face. But I think in today's passage, Jesus presents us with the third option, the one up the top, what I'll call truth and love, saying, I will let God be judge, because in the end we answer to him, and I'm going to cling to the truth of my judge's word, which means I will disagree with you if I need to. But even as I do that, and no matter how much we disagree, I will still continue to love you and call you to the Saviour who offers you mercy from his judgment. I think that's what true tolerance is about. True tolerance involves a generous mercy. where we don't rush to write people off because we know, hang on a minute, there but for the grace of God go I. In this passage, Jesus is calling us to take on his generous mercy, longing to see sinners turn back to God. It's interesting. Earlier this week, a friend of mine who's not yet a Christian, he asked me, he said, "Oh, Pastor, what are you preaching on this Sunday?" And I said, "I'm preaching on do not judge and you will not be judged." And his immediate question was, "Why? Who's going to judge me?" It's important to remember that God has delegated judgment in the end to Jesus, the Messiah. That's what our Old Testament reading was about. Did you notice that? It was all about how the Messiah is the judge. And unlike us in our present condition, Jesus is qualified to judge, to be a good judge in a way that we're currently not. Jesus is full of generous mercy beyond compare. Jesus was so full of mercy that he was willing to take our judgment as he hung on the cross. Jesus continues to show his generous mercy as he waits and waits and calls people to come to him and find forgiveness and be saved from the judgment to come. Jesus, it says here, "Forgive and you will be forgiven." Jesus is willing to forgive you. Jesus is the only one without any speck in his eye. The Old Testament reading was all about how Jesus, the Messiah, the judge, will, by the Holy Spirit, will make a right judgment, will see into the human heart. And so, while time remains, our priority is to point others to him to be saved. And to those who aren't saved yet, we leave judgment to him in his time. Let's pray. God of mercy, we come before you and we recognize we need forgiveness for our own judgmental hearts. We confess that so easily we can seek righteousness by comparing ourselves to others rather than looking to you and to your holiness and your salvation. Father, we recognize only Jesus is worthy before you. And so we thank you for his mercy and his death on the cross. And we praise him as the one who stands in our place before you. Please give us merciful hearts. Teach us to be people of truth and love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.